Happy Birthday, Mr. President is a production of Big Four Enterprises, copyright 2020. I'm your host, Jeff Myers.
And I'm your co-host, Carissa Slate.
Our creative director is Shelby Myers, and our senior writer is Evan Myers. This is Happy Birthday, Mr. President. Carissa, on any of our episodes of Happy Birthday, Mr. President, have you ever heard me say that I'm not excited about an episode?
No.
And this is no exception, because I'm really excited about another episode for a couple of reasons. This is our 40th episode.
Is it really?
40th episode of Happy Birthday, Mr. President. And I just wanted to pause before we get started and thank our listeners. Because we have listeners literally all over the country. Literally. Can't even say that word. Literally.
He's so excited.
All over the country. You name a city, and I bet we have a listener. Name a city.
Milwaukee.
We've got listeners there. Thank you, Milwaukee. Name another city.
Cincinnati.
We've got listeners in Cincinnati. Thank you.
Washington, D.C.
Our nation's capital. Yes, they may be listening in the West Wing of the White House right now.
I bet you they are.
Wondering, when is Trump's birthday? Well, sorry, we already did that one. But we've got listeners, San Jose, California, Greensboro, North Carolina, Cleveland, Ohio. Hey, Cleveland. Cleveland rocks. Oklahoma City, Portland, Oregon, Las Vegas, Nevada, Louisville, Kentucky, San Diego, Phoenix, Detroit. There are listeners all over the United States and all over the world. So thank you to our listeners. We're just so appreciative that you listen to our show. And so here's our applause for our listeners. Yes.
You don't get a sound effect applause. That's a real,
this is a real deal. This is like a live audience here. So, and another reason that I'm excited about this episode, and most of our listeners don't know, so we're recording these episodes, you know, like a day or two before the actual birthday of the president we're celebrating. And you're extremely pregnant.
I am.
And your actual due date was on October 12th.
Yes.
And today is October 13th.
Yes.
So you're still really pregnant.
I'm still pregnant.
But I said this last week that who knows, someday we may be celebrating the birthday of granddaughter. Well, wait, we don't really know if it's a granddaughter, but I want a granddaughter. So I'll say
it could be a grandson.
It could be a grandson. But no, 40th episode, fans all over the country, and a pregnant co-host. I couldn't be happier.
You know what would make this episode just a little bit better?
Tell me about it.
You know, pregnancy cravings. What I'm craving right now is some candy.
Candy?
Some Mike and Ike's.
Mike and Ike's.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know why.
You know what? That would be great because we're celebrating the 130th birthday of Dwight D. Ike Eisenhower.
Oh my gosh. Is that why I'm craving that?
That's fantastic. Yes. He was the 34th president of the United States and born on October 14th, 1890 in Denison, Texas. And yes, his nickname was Ike.
Yes.
He was the third of six sons.
Yep.
And I guess they were a bunch of boys. They were boys through and through, rough housing and everything. Mm-hmm. His younger brother, Milton, though, went on to become the president of Kansas State University, Penn State University, and Johns Hopkins University.
Oh, wow.
So I guess, and then, of course, Ike, in his own right, did pretty well. They moved, so he was born in Denison, Texas, but he moved to Abilene, Kansas when Dwight was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where he grew up, was Abilene, Kansas. And since the boys were so always in mischief and always getting in fights and everything, a lot of people referred to them as being from the wrong side of the tracks.
Oh, okay.
So that's what they thought. And Dwight played football and baseball in school.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually was a good athlete. And as we go on in the show, we'll learn more about that. He loved reading books on military strategy. So like George Washington and Ulysses Grant, and he would read these books. And his mom was more of a pacifist, and she would actually hide his books when she thought he was reading too much about military strategy.
And
now,
war.
How ironic is that?
That's funny.
That's pretty funny. So after high school, he wasn't quite sure what he wanted to do, but he knew he wanted to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And so his brother Edgar... they made a deal that they alternated attending college and then working to earn tuition money. So 1 year Edgar would go to college and Dwight would work to earn tuition, and then the next year Dwight would go to college.
Oh my gosh.
Would work. So they alternated back and forth. So very hardworking family.
And that would take you forever to graduate.
It probably did. Yeah. But I'm not quite sure what college that he first entered into, but a friend of his said, you ought to apply for an appointment to the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, which he did. And so he got accepted and admitted to West Point.
Okay.
And when he was at West Point, he played football and baseball.
Oh, that's cool.
And he was like an average student. He probably got B's and C's, but he really excelled at the military aspects of West Point. And he graduated from West Point in 1915 when he was 24 years old, and he was commissioned a second lieutenant.
Okay.
And that's where Ike began his military career. He was one of his duty stations, and I can't remember, because he was at all these different. He was at Fort Meade, Maryland. He was at Fort Benning, Fort Lewis, Washington. There's probably a fort in the United States. Oh, Fort Leavenworth. Yeah. There was a fort, a U.S. Army base somewhere in the United States, and I'll bet Ike was there at one point or another. But at one of these particular ones, he met a young lady named Marie Geneva Dowd. And do you know what he called her?
Mamie,
yes. And he got engaged to her 4 months after meeting her.
Oh, so engagement.
They quickly fell in love, yes. And they got married on July 1st, 1916 in Denver, Colorado. Now, I just realized...
That's a great day to get married.
...that Dwight and Mamie Eisenhower share an anniversary date with your mother and me.
Yes!
So, or maybe we share an anniversary date with them. Because they were married in 1960.
Did you copy them?
We copied them. Unknowingly, we copied them. But Mamie was from Denver, Colorado, her family was. They had two children. They had boys. Their first boy was named Dowd Dwight.
Dowd?
Dowd, D-O-U-D, Dowd. And Mamie wanted to nickname him Ike, but it kind of worked around, and it ended up being Icky.
Icky was his nickname?
Icky was his nickname.
Oh,
yes.
My.
Now, sadly, Icky died.
Oh, that is
at
sad.
Age three. Yeah, he got a case. At first, it looked like it was just a mild something, and then it turned into scarlet fever.
Oh.
Yes. But they did have a second son, John Sheldon Dowd.
Okay.
Eisenhower. So those were their two children.
You know, Ike, everybody in his family was nicknamed Ike.
Everyone in his family was
most of the people, it came from Eisenhower.
Really?
Yes. So his Dwight's dad and his grandpa both were Ike.
So he was like Ike the Third.
Yeah, and he went but every it was like Big Ike, Little Ike. He was Little Ike.
He was Little Ike.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out I think he turned out to be the biggest of the big Ikes.
Yes. Well, and Ike, he's the only one who like stuck with the nickname.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that is so interesting.
I know.
Fascinating. I love listening to our podcast. I learn so much. Even though I'm hosting it, I'm listening.
We do listen
to our podcast. Yeah. Yes, and you can find our podcast on iTunes and Spotify and iHeart and, well, wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
We're there.
Well, as we know, Dwight graduated from the U.S. Military Academy and was commissioned a second lieutenant, which is typical that when you graduate from military school that your first commission is second lieutenant. That's the lowest officer rank.
Yeah.
And he was promoted. He actually moved up the ranks pretty quickly because he was promoted to first lieutenant in 1916 and to captain in 1917. And during World War I, and he actually remained in the United States. And he trained officers and soldiers on the use of tanks.
Okay.
And one of his good friends was George Patton.
Okay.
Who went to West Point. And George Patton, General George Patton, as we know, was a tank commander and everything. But there was something else that Ike did a lot of when he was in the Army, is that he coached college football.
Not really?
Yes, he coached college football. And in fact, many of the assignments that he got... to different bases, when you get transferred to different bases, it was because they wanted him to coach football.
No way.
Yes.
That's impressive. Where all did he coach football?
Well, at these different military bases.
Okay.
So the military bases, let's pick one, Fort Meade, which is in Maryland. Your brother actually was at Fort Meade for a little while, but he'd go to, so Dwight went to Fort Meade and they'd have a football team. Or there would be a local college team. But they, yeah, they had football teams. And Dwight Eisenhower was a prolific football coach.
Huh, now, who knew that?
Yeah. So we know that he moved up the ranks. And between World War I and World War II, he was writing some papers along with George Patton about the need to use tanks mm-hmm. in warfare. And he actually got reprimanded several times. So I don't know what the whole military, you know, kind of culture is from that standpoint. But, you know, when you have outlandish ideas and you go above your commanders, they can get pretty ticked off. And
yeah,
so he ticked off a few people, mm-hmm. but he also made a lot of contacts and everything. And during World War II, February of 1943, that President Franklin Roosevelt selected Dwight to be the Supreme Allied Commander to plan Operation Overlord, which we know is D-Day. And he was promoted to a 5-star general in December 1944. That's general of the Army.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he achieved the highest rank in the Army. He accepted Germany's surrender in May of 1945.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting that he was meeting with the German general whom he was going to take the surrender from. And he basically told him, he said, look, if you don't surrender unconditionally, you are personally going to be held responsible for everything that happens.
Oh, wow.
So it was kind of a ballsy threat and everything. So the war was over. He resigned from the Army in February of 1948. Not quite sure what he was going to do, and he actually became president of Columbia University.
Okay.
But the professors, the academia at Columbia didn't really like having a general running their school, so he didn't stay there very long.
Did they, it's like by choice, or did they kind of force him out?
Not really forced him out, but I think it was kind of a mutual thing. This isn't going to work out so well. Okay. And he didn't want to coach football there either. I don't think they asked him to coach football. But President Truman then asked Ike to be the Supreme Commander of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, or NATO, from 1951 to 1952. So he did that.
Yeah.
And he never really wanted to get into politics. And in fact, in 1948, they thought he was, there were a lot of people saying, you should run for president. In fact, Truman said to him, I'll get you the nomination. And Dwight said to him, why on earth do you think I'm a Democrat? I've been a Republican my whole life.
Yeah.
Which was kind of ironic. So, but it was the election of 1952 that he did run, and he won that election.
Mm-hmm.
He served, so he ended up serving two terms from January 20th, 1953 to January 20th, 1961.
Yep.
And his vice president was Richard Nixon.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
And I was thinking about this, that my parents were basically like kids and teenagers during the time that Ike was president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that was cool to think about.
The 50s and sock hops and poodle skirts and hula hoops. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, and it was a great time in America.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of happiness going on.
Mm-hmm.
So Dwight defeated Adlai Stevenson, I think he was the governor of Illinois, with 55% of the popular vote. So he won very handily.
Well, yeah, because the Democrats and Republicans liked him.
Yeah. Well, his campaign slogan was, I like Ike.
Yeah.
It was really good. One of the things he did in his first term was he established the National Security Council.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because in the aftermath of the war, there was a need to, you know, protect the homeland and basically established National Security Council.
Yeah.
He also was instrumental in the armistice that ended the Korean War.
Mm-hmm.
And so while Ike was this great military leader, he was very much about peace, peace through strength. And he had this theory, I don't think it was his own unique theory, but it's called the Domino Principle, because at the time, communism, there were a lot of countries. And the domino principle was that if one country falls to communism, then others in the region will follow.
Yeah.
And this is about the time that Vietnam was starting to percolate. The French were in Vietnam. And so that was basically when that kind of got going during Ike's administration.
Yeah.
And Ike was instrumental in the use of the CIA in U.S. covert operations. He found that they were very effective. So you could basically infiltrate. And there are a lot of good stories. We could probably go on and on about his military stuff. Another thing that happened during his first administration, there was this very huge Supreme Court decision in Brown versus the Board of Education, which was the desegregation of schools. Mm-hmm. And very tumultuous times, especially in the South. Mm-hmm. And in fact, he had to send in the 101st Airborne Division to Little Rock, Arkansas, so these nine kids could get into Central High School to protect them.
That's also crazy to me that that happened when Grandma and Grandpa and Mimi and Paps were in school.
Yeah, that was a crazy time. During his first term, the Interstate Highway Act of 1956 was passed, and 42,000 miles of interstate highway. So our interstate highway system that we have today is a result of the Interstate Highway Act. And that really became, so when Ike was in Germany during World War II, he really admired the Autobahn, what the Germans had built, this high-speed network of highways and things. Mm-hmm. And when he was working back in the United States with tanks, and you know, tanks were kind of slow to get across the country. Built the interstates.
I bet you he did not anticipate how much construction these interstates were going to need.
He failed miserably there.
He failed, especially on I-65.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my Lord. I-70, I-465, I-260. Yes, we're always under construction. Yes. There was one other thing that I found very interesting is that during his first term, he supported adding the phrase, under God, to the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, okay.
And that happened in 1954, so that was added to our Pledge of Allegiance in
1954. I didn't realize that was an addition.
Yes, yes. And it happened during Ike's term. So the election of 1956 came, and again, Adlai Stevenson was nominated by the Democrats, and Ike won his second term. This time he won 58% of the popular vote. A lot of people liked Ike.
Yeah.
So, and during his second term, one big thing that happened was NASA was created in 1958. The Russians had launched Sputnik, the first satellite. It was like the size of a basketball. It wasn't a very big thing. Yeah,
that's
but
funny.
They launched it.
Yeah.
The United States did catch up and launch a satellite, but they were behind the Russians. So, hey, let's create NASA.
Yeah.
And then also during his second term, there was this guy down in Cuba named Fidel Castro that came to power. So going back to that whole thing with communism and everything. Yeah. So he completed his two terms in office, and then he couldn't run for a third term. And it was the election of 1960, and that was the year that John F. Kennedy won. And I was starting to read a very interesting book about the 3 days between the transition that Eisenhower handing over basically the government to John F. Kennedy is a very interesting thing. So, all right. Are you ready?
I'm ready. How many questions do we have today?
We've got 6 questions.
Okay.
Think you can handle it?
I think so.
I think you're going to
get... Now I got this music that pumped me up, so...
I think you're going to get some of these right, so...
I think I get 5 out of 6, right?
5 out of 6? I think you might do better than that. So.
Okay, we'll find out.
We will find out. Okay, so let's see here. We've got 6 questions, and let's go with the first one.
Okay.
True or false, Carissa? Eisenhower is the only president of the United States to win an Emmy Award.
Oh, gosh. True?
That's true.
Okay.
He was given an Emmy Award in recognition for his use of television. So he would have televised addresses to the American public. So yeah, so
cool.
He won an Emmy Award.
Yes,
the
that's
only one.
Neat.
Yeah. All right. Second question: Eisenhower was the first president of the United States of the 50 United States.
Eventually, so is this a trick question?
True or false? Yeah, it's true. It's true.
But they weren't when he was elected the first time, right?
It was I think Alaska and Hawaii were admitted to the Union
and they were
1959.
Territories, but they weren't states.
So that's true. We're gonna say that it's true. Alright. Here's your third question. Dwight Eisenhower was the only president of the United States to play in the Masters tournament at Augusta.
True.
No. I'm afraid that's false, but golf was his favorite pastime.
Was it?
Yes. And he liked golf so much that they installed a putting green at the White House.
Oh, really?
That's funny. So when he would kind of, I guess, get stressed out and need to relax, he'd go out on the putting green.
Yeah.
But he played golf at Augusta National more than 200 times.
Oh, wow.
He broke 80, the score of 80,
a
couple of times. And they built a cabin there. It's still there, the Eisenhower cabin. And the first floor was for the Secret Service, and the upstairs is where the Eisenhower family would stay when he was...
Oh, that's cool.
And there was a famous tree on, I think it was the 14th hole. They called it the Eisenhower tree.
Uh-huh.
And he was playing golf there one time. Well, he kept, I guess, hitting his drive, and it would go into this tree. So he had a caddy with him, and he jokingly said to this caddy, he said, "Hey, why don't you come out at night and cut that tree down?" And he even suggested that to the like the board of trustees of Augusta, and they, I mean, it was like people had a heart attack and everything. And interestingly enough, it was just a few years ago, there was an ice storm, and it actually took down the Eisenhower.
It took the tree out? Yeah. Oh.
So that tree had been there for like 150 years.
Oh, wow.
So,
that's funny.
So yeah, Dwight Eisenhower and Augusta National have a very long history. And so yeah.
Interesting.
Oh yeah, it's very interesting. So, all right. Here's our fourth question. Dwight Eisenhower was the first president of the United States to be drafted to play Major League Baseball.
False.
Yeah, that's... Well, you're correct. He did play semi-pro baseball under the assumed name of Wilson.
Oh, did he really?
In another town in Kansas. Funny. Yeah, when he was younger. So. Wilson.
Wilson.
Yeah.
Why?
When
he was young?
When he was younger,
He knew he was going to become the president, so...
But who cares back then?
That's true.
All right. Our fifth question. Dwight Eisenhower chain-smoked Camel cigarettes and drank 15 cups of coffee a day.
Oh, I bet that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. It was actually during World War II. You can imagine the pressures of being the Supreme Allied commander. So
I knew about the cigarettes. I didn't know about the coffee. He smoked like 3 packs of cigarettes a day.
Yes, chain-smoked. He was just
Do you know how he quit?
How did he quit?
So he surrounded himself with cigarettes.
Really?
Yes. It was an interesting strategy.
Like a cigarette seance?
Yeah. So he quit a couple years before he was elected. And then in the White House, he had cigarettes everywhere. Every room, he kept cigarettes. And anytime somebody would come to talk to him, he would offer them a cigarette.
Oh, wow.
And he said that while he was lighting their cigarette for them, he would think in his head, "You don't have to do what this poor guy is doing right now."
Well, that's an interesting strategy. Yeah. Well,
putting other people down, feeding their habits to kick his own.
Wow. Well, do what you got to do. Well, here's our last true-false question. The presidential retreat at Camp David was named after Dwight Eisenhower's grandson.
True.
Yes, that is true. His grandson, David, actually married Richard Nixon's daughter, Julie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so... Camp David is named after that. So that's very good. You did really good. I think you got 5 out of 6. So that's yes. Good for you. You got 5 out of 6. Good job. Good for you. Well, after he retired, left the White House, he and Mamie retired to their farm in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And he had actually did have some health issues. So he had suffered a heart attack. I can't remember his first heart attack, like in the 50s and everything.
Yeah.
He suffered a second major heart attack in 1965.
Mm-hmm.
He had suffered a stroke 8 years before that. And then he suffered a third heart attack. As I was saying, he suffered his third heart attack in April of 1968. So do you think it had anything to do with
Probably had a little bit to do with the cigarettes.
Now you're a doctor, right?
Yes.
I mean, a well-established fact that you are a doctor.
40 episodes in,
yes. 40 episodes, everybody knows. I don't think in the 60s, though, they were using leeches. He would probably be blood or not blood.
He'd be not blood,
yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So, you know, those issues, he lived a really good life. He died on March 28th, 1969 in Washington, D.C., and he was 78 years old.
You know, that's really not bad considering all the heart attacks and strokes and
he probably had a really good therapist.
Have a really good physical therapist.
Yes. Or great, government insurance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And his wife, Mamie, lived for another 10 years. She died on November 1st of 1979.
Okay.
And so Dwight and Mamie and their son, Icky, are all buried in a family plot in Abilene, Kansas. So they're back. And in fact, it was Dwight's last words were to his son. He said, I want to go. I'm ready to go. Aww. I want to be with Mamie. So
yeah.
We are celebrating the 130th birthday of Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Happy birthday, Mr. President. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you all will join us for our next episode as we celebrate the birthday of another president of the United States.